This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A short anecdote from the seerah, a beautiful anecdote, one that has a lot of interest and benefit, and it intersects with Islamic history and with Western or outside history. After the sixth year of the Hijrah, when the Prophet ﷺ enacted the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, this gave him the leeway to start negotiating and writing letters to other rulers. And so after the sixth year of the Hijrah, he began writing to the leaders of the Roman Empire and of the Sassanid or the Persian Empire. And as you're all aware, he wrote to both Khusro, which is the leader of the Sassanid Empire, and to the Byzantine Empire in Rome. And so one of the letters he sent was to Kisra. And he sent Abdullah ibn Hudhafa to hand deliver the letter to the emperor of the Sassanid Empire. Abdullah ibn Hudhafa traveled all the way to Iran, to the capital Ctesiphon, and of course the capital itself is still preserved to this day. It is one of the UN World Heritage Sites. It's a very magnificent structure still preserved to this day. So he traveled to Ctesiphon, and he hand-delivered the letter to Kisra after a long negotiation, because Kisra refused to see him first. And then he insisted that there's a new ruler in Arabia, and he's sending you a letter. He's a prophet of Allah. He's sending you a letter. So then he said to his dignitary or his minister, "You take the letter." And Abdullah ibn Hudhafa said, "My prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded that I hand this to your hand. I'm not going to give it to anybody else." And so he was already with an attitude, Kisra. So he said, "Okay, hand it to me." So Abdullah ibn Hudhafa then gave it directly to Kisra in his hand. So Kisra opened it up and he read, "Min Muhammad Rasulillah ila Kisra Azimi Faris." From Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Kisra, Kisra is his title, Khusro is his name, Azimi Faris, the ruler of Faris. Soon as he read this, he said, "Who is this man to put his name before my name?" From Muhammad Rasulillah to Kisra Azimi Faris. Automatically he gets kibr. Who is this man to put his name? He should put my name before his name. And then the rest of the letter goes on, Aslim, Tuslim, the standard letters that the Prophet would send. And he became so angry at the letter that in front of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, he tore up the letter and threw it back at him. Complete contempt. And Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, and he told the people to get rid of this man, kick him out. And the anger and the arrogance was so much, kick him out. So Abdullah ibn Hudhafa then returned back and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had transpired. And he said, "He tore my letter up, Allah will tear his kingdom up. He tore my letter up, Allah will tear his kingdom up." Meaning that level of arrogance that he had against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is not going to let it go away. And subhanAllah, that is exactly what happened. But the catalyst of how it happened, a lot of people don't realize it. How was that catalyst? How did Allah tear his kingdom up? That anger that got to him was the very anger that caused his whole kingdom. You have to realize this person, Kisra, Khusro in Farsi, his name is Khusro and his title is Parviz or Aparviz, Khusro Parviz. He was the last great Sassanid emperor. He ruled for almost 40 years. 40 years as the emperor from 590. Yani when the Prophet ﷺ was a young man, before the prophecy began, from 590 all the way until 628, when Allah revealed Alif Lam Mim Ghulibat Ar-Rum. This is about Kisra fighting the emperor in Rome. Allah talked about Kisra's victory over Qaisar. Qaisar is the Caesar. Kisra won over Qaisar. And Allah revealed Alif Lam Mim Ghulibat Ar-Rum about this one. That right now he won, but don't worry, eventually they're going to win back. This is the same Kisra. This was the last famous Kisra. After him, the Sassanid Empire comes to an end. In his lifetime, you would have thought the Sassanid Empire would last another 1,000 years. It is a miracle of Allah. It is one of the weird quirks that humans don't understand. If you look at the historians, they don't understand how the Sassanid Empire came to a screeching halt in barely 10 years. When they were at the pinnacle of their magnificence under Kisra. Kisra built an entire empire infrastructure. He attacked Rome multiple times. His legacy is amazing. The amount of poetry about him, one of the most famous Farsi poems is about him as well. He literally increased the legacy of the Sassanid Empire many notches, and yet in 10 years, the entire empire was gone. How did that happen? Interesting story. In his anger about this man, the Prophet ﷺ, you know what he did? He sent, after Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, he sent a letter to his governor, not quite his governor, but you know, in those days, both the Roman emperor and the Persian emperor, they had vassal kingdoms. They had kingdoms in Arab lands that followed them. So they're mini dynasties, but in reality, they follow. Just like our country has many countries around the world that technically they're the same country, you know what I'm saying? So you get my point here. The same thing here, that both the Roman emperor and the Persian emperor had many kingdoms in Arabia. So the mini kingdom that was under the Persian empire was that of a province in Yemen, one of the provinces of Yemen. And the ruler of that province was named Badhan. Badhan. He was his own independent kingdom, but in reality, it's as if he's an extension of the Persian emperor. So, Kisra sends a letter to Badhan, and he says to Badhan, "This man has irritated me, insulted me. Go send two of your best assassins and bodyguards, and tell him he must present himself to me to excuse himself, and I might forgive him. Otherwise, assassinate him." This was the order from Kisra to Badhan. So Badhan chose his two best assassins, you know, bodyguards, like, you know, the people trained in these arts. He sent the two best trained, you know, warriors, whatever you want to call it. And the guys was their emissaries, but in reality, they're warriors or they're assassins. The guys was their you know, diplomats, but in reality, they are assassins. And he sends these two from Yemen. It's like takes 5-6 days. You go up to Medina. And you present this demand from Kisra. What is the demand? How arrogant. You must accompany these two back to Kisra and apologize. And if you do so, maybe you will be forgiven and you can have your mini kingdom. Because Kisra is thinking like the typical arrogant king. This is another revolt. He wants to have his mini state. Okay, fine, I'll let you have it, but you must come and basically, you know, be subservient to me. So these two emissaries went and traveled to Medina. This incident, by the way, is mentioned in multiple books. Obviously, as usual, each book has sometimes different details, but the concept is there. One of the books mentions, it's not with an authentic isnad because it's a second century book, but it mentions this detail that is not found in other books, which is interesting. And that is, these two emissaries, they were clean shaven and they had very long mustaches, which was the way of the Persians, right? So these two, because they were Persian trained, they had lived in Persia, so they were clean shaven and they had really long mustaches. And this was very atypical, you know, for the Arabs. So when the Prophet saw this, he said, "Who commanded you to dress like, who commanded you to have this?" So they said, "This is the custom of our king, the king of kings," because that's the title of Kisra was Shahinshah, the king of kings. So this is the custom and the command of the Shahinshah. So then according to this report, and it is not a hadith because its isnad is not authentic, but still the concept is there. The Prophet ﷺ said, "As for me, my Lord has commanded me to trim the mustache and to grow the beard." This is one of the evidences used by the claim that the beard is the sunnah. Nonetheless, so he told these two, when they presented the message, he said, "Go back to your camp for the night. Come back tomorrow morning and I will give you my answer. Come back tomorrow morning, I'll give you my answer." So these two emissaries decided if by tomorrow morning they didn't get the answer, they would then assassinate the Prophet ﷺ, because that was the command. If they didn't get the answer they wanted, they had their weapons or their poison, their darts, whatever it was, they would assassinate and disappear. So the next morning they came to the Prophet ﷺ's masjid and he said to them, "What is your command again? What is your, tell me again." So they said, "Our Rabb, our God," because Kisra called himself a God, "our Rabb has commanded that you accompany us to him and apologize to him." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Go back to Badhan, وَأَخْبِرُهُ أَنَّ رَبِّي قَدْ قَتَلَ رَبَّهُ. Go tell him that my Rabb has killed his Rabb. My Rabb has killed his Rabb last night at such and such a time, at such and such a place." Now, pause here. What's going on? On the, don't quote me, I'm quoting from memory, 25th of February, 628 CE, Kisra one of his sons who had ran away from the kingdom, had become a renegade, was propped up by one of the other elite families. And when civil war takes place in a kingdom, what happens is the armies and the ministers and the generals who don't like the king, they find one of these disgruntled princes. And they say, oh, you are the next king. And they support this prince against the real king. So one of the powerful dynasties took this little kid, and his name was Shahrayar. Shahru in Arabic, Shahrayar, you know Shahrayar, this is the name. His name was Shahrayar. They took Shahrayar and they said, oh, you should be the king. We'll support you. Go revolt against your father. So they took Shahrayar, and on that night, the 25th of February, 628, Shahrayar entered the city with the army that was the rebel army, and he laid siege to his own father's house. And he took his father captive. And in front of his father, Kisra Aparviz, he executed, I think, 6 or 7 of his blood brothers and half-brothers in front of his father's eyes, his own blood brothers, in order to make sure there's no revolt now. I'm the last person left of your dynasty. Now you understand what's going to happen when everybody else is killed. You see where this is heading. Allah plans and they plan, and Allah's plan always wins. He executed all of his full brothers and half-brothers. And then he commanded his father to be executed. Just as somebody else's hand, he commanded Kisra to be executed, right? And with that execution, Shahrayar obviously became the king, but it is said he went mad because he killed his own father and brothers. And he ruled for barely a year or two. Then his sister Boran came into office, and that was when the Prophet ﷺ gave the famous hadith that he said that لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمًا وَلُّ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةً. That famous hadith in Bukhari that is there, this is from Boran. When the Kisra died, after the two messengers left, the Prophet ﷺ said, once Kisra dies, there shall never be a Kisra after him. Now technically, Shahrayar was a Kisra, but the power that he had was nothing. He was gone. So when he said to these two messengers, go back to your boss, go back to your governor and tell him, my Rabb has killed your Rabb. They were shocked. How could you know yesterday? How would you get this news? When from Iran all the way to Medina is 1 month journey. There is no way you will get any news. Yemen is 5 days. Even Yemen is going to take 2-3 weeks to get the news. So he said, go back and tell your governor, go back and tell your king that my Lord has killed their Lord. When the two messengers came back, this is when Badan said, if he is a true prophet, then there is no way he could have found this information out unless his Lord told him. There's no way. There's no communication. And indeed, the news came within 10 days. The news came that Kisra has been killed, and Shahrayar is now the Kisra, and exactly the time and the place that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned was exactly the place. Ibn Hisham mentions, when Badan heard this, he embraced Islam, the governor of Yemen. That was the conquest of Yemen one province of Yemen, because Yemen had many kings and provinces. One province of Yemen embraced Islam without any war, anything. Badan immediately sent another group of delegates to embrace Islam. After the assassination, now he's saying, khalas, I'm a Muslim. And in fact, his son and others were of those who participated in the conquest and whatnot. So in this interesting story, brothers and sisters, again, as Ibn Taymiyyah and others mentioned, this is one of the many signs of Nubuwwah, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated the reality of the Prophet, and how also in this incident, multiple predictions, not just the incident of Kisra being killed, but the famous hadith is in Bukhari, when Kisra dies, there shall never be another Kisra after him. And subhanallah, it was because this son of his, Shahrayar, destroyed all of the royal family, and he went mad. And when he went mad, nobody to take charge. His sister takes charge, Boran. Boran takes charge for a while, but in that culture and society, a woman taking charge is not going to have the same impact. She had many revolts. She herself basically then, is overthrown and she wasn't killed. But then after her, a little child comes into place, Yazdajard. And that Yazdajard was to be the final assassin of the emperor. Then when the armies of the Sahaba came, Yazdajard was all alone, his own whole family family has been disintegrated. There's nobody left to fight. The entire civil war has reached a pinnacle. And it is because within the Sassanid Empire, there was a mini civil war going on. All of this planned by Allah. When the Sahaba came, the Sassanids couldn't put on a fight. Otherwise, technically, logistically, militarily, it would have been, in human history, impossible for a group of people at the time of, you know, the Arabs at that time, to take on the Sassanid Empire. It would have been logistically impossible. But for Allah, nothing is impossible. So Allah works in ways we don't understand. And so the same person who threatened and ridiculed the Prophet ﷺ, the same person was the cause of his own demise when he sent these two people to go do what he did. And subhanAllah, his own son revolted and executed the entire family. As Allah says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. So may Allah Azza wa Jal continue to allow us to benefit from the seerah. And inshallah, we'll continue later on. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِي وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.